Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, happy Friday. Welcome to the weekend. My name is Julia Wesley, and this is the Divine Realignment Podcast. And I am a professional medium and a channel for my guides. What we like to do is we like to connect people with their life purpose. And I like to focus on people's life purpose because it reconnects you to who you are on a soul level. So when I am aiming or helping to reconnect someone to their purpose, what I'm really doing is I'm helping them to realign with themselves because you are your purpose. I know that might sound trite and that might sound like something that's unreasonable. You're like, well, how can I make money off being myself? You can, because the best jobs and the ones that you'll be the most successful at doing will be the ones that you are happy doing and you enjoy doing because you want to do more of it. So what I was planning on doing here today was I wanted to focus on, quote unquote, becoming your divine self, because that's what you do when you align yourself with your life purpose. So we come into this earthly experience, this incarnation, with the idea we forget completely who we are. We assume all of these identities and assumptions that society has sort of indoctrinated us and sort of, you know, kind of pressed upon us ever since we were a kid. And we identify with all these false definitions of who we are and what we can do and what we can't do and what will be good enough to make a career, what can and can't be a career, how we can live our life, what we can like, who we can like. And this is all pretty much just junk. So what I also like to do is I like to help reconnect people with the true essence of who they are and help shed false identities of themselves. So let me give you an example of what I mean when I say you are your life purpose. I like to give the firefighter example. I give this example pretty much almost every time. So a firefighter is someone who jumps into literal fires and metaphorical fires to help people in their times of need. So you'll see firefighters jump into burning buildings, but you'll also see them really engaged in their community. You'll see them show up at when someone calls for an ambulance. You just see them doing more than just the adrenaline rush of running into a house that's on fire. That's what I mean by you are your purpose. So your career is just an expression of your purpose. It's not the entirety of your purpose. And I get the feeling that today we're going to be talking a little bit more than about your purpose. I think we're also going to be talking about sort of just life issues, how we can move along in life, how we can sort of resolve any issues that we may be living with right now, maybe bring through a little bit of divine knowledge, maybe some spiritual talk here. But basically, I don't want you to be turned off by the idea of me saying your divine self, because what I really mean is just you being yourself. So let me tell you a little bit about how I work. I don't really need any information from you other than your name, because I like to refer to you by your name. I pretty much just go to my guides, and then my guides tell me everything that I need to know about you. And then it is my job to pass along whatever my guides tell me to you. And if I don't do that, I'm not doing my job. So anything that comes through is grounded and based in love, and I want you to accept anything that comes for you in the nature it is intended. I'm going to tell you some pretty nice things about yourself, and you might find it hard to believe sometimes, but it's all true. And if you are someone who's listening while I'm answering someone else's call, or if you're listening to this on a replay and you are listening to me give a reading to someone and you think, well, I really resonate with that, or I can really relate to that, then that message was meant for you as well. Spirit arranges things so that people get the messages when they need to hear it. So just because I wasn't directly addressing you, I was addressing you as well. So I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to take a glass of water, get a drink there. I'm also going to introduce you to my co-host, Buttercup, because she is my puppy. And you may hear her bark. You're not crazy, that's a dog. And I'm going to go in and I'm going to take the first call. Hi, how are you?
Hello. Hi, I'm getting quite a kick out of this because I wanted to name my dog Buttercup.
Thank you. That's awesome. She actually came to me with the name Buttercup, and I'm like, that's perfect. She's adopted. Yeah. And can I get your name?
My name is Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa. Okay, Lisa, and I take it you are interested in getting a life purpose reading. Is that correct?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay, great. And I'm assuming you heard my spiel about how I work and what a life purpose really is.
Yes.
Okay, great. So with that in mind, let me just ask my guides what I need to know about you. Okay, Lisa, I'm getting that you're an artist. What I'm literally seeing is I'm seeing like an easel with paint on it. Not an easel. One of those things that you like hold in your hand and you put paint on. Maybe that's an easel. I don't know what that's called. You see Bob Ross hold it in his hand and he mixes paints on it. So they're showing me you are an artist, but you have many different disciplines, like you're a multidisciplinarian artist. And it seems as if what they're talking about is that you have different modes and methods of artistry, and that your artistry isn't necessarily just like physical art. It could also be something, it seems like very metaphysical based as well, where you have this ability to sort of express a spiritual principle or concept through the medium of art of some kind, whether that be literal painting or that be drawing or photography. Photography seems kind of good. You have the ability to sort of teach people with the intention that you put into your work. And it seems like it's something like the vibration that you put into, which is the intention that you put into whatever it is that you're trying to create, like that's what imparts the knowledge onto someone, because someone picks up the vibe that you put into the work there. And give me a moment here, because I wonder if this is something that you sort of put on ice. I don't know if this is something that you're doing at the moment or if it's something that you did before but are no longer doing. It's interesting the way they're showing it to me. It's like they literally put this giant ice cube on the top of my head where my crown chakra would be, which to me means that you don't spend much time, or you used to be very open and connected to it and open to the divine guidance that would come through like inspiration through your crown chakra, and then you would just sort of channel it into what you already enjoy doing, which I get the impression is like expression, which is art. I don't think that it's something that you value very much anymore or necessarily do a lot anymore. And so they want to say that that's your gift and that that's sort of what you came here to do. And that's the whole package. Let me see if there's anything else. So if you listen, it's interesting because they're showing this like this conch shell from the sea, and they're putting it up to my ear, and they're like, listen. To me, that means that you're not listening to your emotions so much anymore, and that if you were to take the time to just sort of like feel your heart, like be really, really soft and gentle with it and kind with it, and then you would feel sort of like your creativity flow again, because that's the sense that I'm getting, is that you're maybe listening to outside influences that really have nothing to do with you, Lisa, and it's sort of cutting off the flow of listening to your own intuition and your own emotions, which is the source of your creativity, and your emotions are how you connect into spirit and how you get that divine inspiration. And let me see what else. And so it would actually be really healing for you to be by the water if you can manage to do that in any way, because it's not just necessarily being at the beach for the sake of being at the beach, but just being with the beach or the ocean or water in any way. It's like I'm walking along this beach, and as I do it, I just feel really sort of like soothed and relaxed and really in touch with my femininity. And as I'm doing that, it just seems very restorative. Like my hair is down again, like, you know, like maybe I was very uptight and I was like trying to fit into this more masculine mold that the world tries to fit everyone into, regardless of whether or not they fit it into it very well, because it's very push, push, push. And sometimes with divine feminine energy is more of a flow. And that's an important state for an artist to be in, that flow state. So they're saying reconnect with that state and just sort of reconnect with the idea of, it's like you're more productive if you let your hair down. And let me see. So So it's like you're more productive if you let your hair down, but then on top of that, it's going to be better for you if you let your hair down. It's interesting because these two things are related. So they're saying the more you relax, like the more productive you will be, which is a nice place to be in. Let me see if there's anything else. I'm trying to figure out like who is giving me this information in particular. I do see sometimes we have dogs with us in spirit, and it's just because dogs like being around people. So I'm not sure if this is actually your animal, but I am seeing a dog step forward for you. He's very cute. He seems kind of like a little bit of a clown, and I can't tell if he's like this brown lab, like a light brown or maybe like a dark blonde kind of color. It's interesting, but he's very cute and he's stepping forward for you, and he's trying to say that you need to be a little sillier in life. You sort of need to let yourself enjoy things a little bit more than you do. And that's really going to help you have more fun in life. I think that's what he's trying to say, is that just the more fun that you have, the more fun, it's interesting. He's like, the more fun you have, the more fun life's going to be. I'm like, well, thanks. Let me see what else. Yeah, and it's sort of like you're just going to get luckier. Like the more fun you allow yourself to have, the luckier you're going to feel, or the luckier you're going to be. Those two things are related. And the thing is, it's going to feel like luck, but it's not going to be luck, because the energy of being in this state of what else is possible, like, ooh, this is fun, you know, follow this excitement, follow that excitement, then it's not luck so much as the other, you're being drawn to the other energies in the universe that are in alignment with that. So that's why that keeps happening. So I'm also being drawn to this blue, I'm seeing this in my mind's eye, it's like this blue stone. It's like, is it lapis lazuli? And it's very good for some reason it feels very connected with your heart. We're still very much talking about your emotions right now, and I think we're talking about the embodiment and then the expression of your emotions, and it feels very like water-based. So water is the symbolic embodiment of your emotions. And when we're talking about sort of like embodying your emotions, we're really talking about the divine feminine, and we're really talking about just the wisdom that is within your emotions and allowing yourself to speak them and to express them, because your emotions carry authority. Like the authority of you doesn't necessarily come from intellect, because intellect are just things that you learn from everyone else. Like it doesn't, like you really have no, the authority is from outside of you, but your emotions are your internal authority. So when you move with the authority of your emotions, then you are moving with your own authority, and there's no one who can supersede that. So that's really the power of the divine feminine, is that you come with this understanding of, I am in tune with my own emotions, I know what is right, what feels right for me, and I'm going to move forward confidently in that. And it's interesting because there seems to be, typically we think of intelligence as something that is just sort of stereotypically brain-based, but they're also saying that your emotions are intelligent. Like there's an intelligence in emotions, and it seems equal to the intelligence that comes from just regurgitating facts and information from your brain. Like the brain creates problems to solve so that it can seem intelligent, but your emotions already live and know the answer, if that makes sense. So it's like they're saying, the emotions, they don't need to create a problem in order to assert their intelligence and their authority. Your emotions already know the way you are supposed to move in life, and they already know what will feel good for you, and they don't need proof for it. They don't, like, it is its own, it's a self-proving mechanism, like your emotions. As soon as you validate your emotions and move through with them, like, that's how you get the authority back into your emotional body, the emotional Lisa. And so as we're moving deeper into this sort of like divine feminine, it really is just about it's like beautiful. So now I'm sort of seeing like that traditional painting of like Venus kind of rising out of the sea when she's in the clamshell and she's got all like the pearls and like the little, I think they're the little cherubs. I can't remember exactly around her. And they're just impressing upon me just how beautiful it is. But as someone who I'm looking at it, but I'm looking at it from sort of like the stereotypical like male perspective that we would gaze on it nowadays, to where we're very like intellectually based, what we would see is we're kind of like, oh, that's nice. She's like pretty, but like, what else can she do? And so they're saying, oh, the beauty comes from her being so embodied in her own authority, and her own authority comes from her being so entrenched in her own emotions. Like, she's not overtaken by it, but she is in control of them because she's informed by her emotions and she moves with them. So what they're getting at is that the beauty, like, if you're looking at it externally and you're not taking part of it emotionally, like, you're going to think that it's something that's just, excuse me, it's something that seems like it's just surface-based. But they're saying we are enamored with it on a surface level because we're like, what's that? You know, like, what are really emotions? Like, what does it really feel like to embody that? Like, is that what that is? Like, that. But the more that you actually dig into that for yourself, and they're saying that you really have the ability to do that and that you should do this, then you will be able to understand that authority and to understand that beauty. And it's really an effortless kind of beauty. And so they're saying it's interesting now, because the more that you go into your own inner ocean, your own emotions, it's like as you come back up to the surface and sort of say, okay, I took that time to go into myself, be in tune with my own emotions. And now as I feel confident and I'm refreshed in who I am and I go out into the world again and I like peek my head out above the water, sort of like Venus being on top of the water in like her clamshell, then it's like I can look out on the world and I can interact with the world coming from the inner authority of my own emotions, from knowing who I am, being informed by my emotions, like my emotional intelligence. And then it's like I'm seeing these pearls, you're finding them everywhere. And it's just sort of like, it's the natural consequence, like these little surprises and these goodies and these, just like these abundances, you know, whether it be money, whether it be people, whether it be experiences, like they're coming to you everywhere because you're in tune with your own emotions. And so being in tune with that vibration is going to attract you to all these other vibrations that are of the same light. And so you guys are going to find each other that way. So they're saying it's a real gift. Like, so again, they're bringing up again how you're the gift. They're really just saying the more you can be you, the more you can be a gift to yourself, the happier, the healthier, the more Lisa you will be. And then it's like, then you can be the gift to the outside world just by showing people the way that you live. It's like you're being the light just by being you, because perhaps other people don't realize that you can live like this. Like, they don't understand that's how life works. So as you go out in the world like this in your own inner emotional authority, and you're just confident, you just walk with that authority, you live with that authority, you don't let other people question you. And if they do question you, like, what do they know? They don't know anything. And then so as you move forward and you're unshaken and you just know who you are, then it sort of triggers other people to be like, well, I want that. I want to live like that. How is she doing that? And so, again, we're coming back to this idea of how you embodying the sort of like divine feminine emotional inner authority is linked to how you express yourself in your, I want to say in your expressions, like your artistic expressions. Like, it feels very much linked to the divine feminine. So it seems if you're an artist, normally I don't get so specific. And people's like life purpose readings is to be like, this is exactly how you do it. But I do get the sense that you're an artist of some kind, and that when you get in touch with your divine feminine, like, it's just a natural course of action for you for it to be expressed in that way. So they're saying this is all linked. So in order for you to sort of reconnect with that aspect of you and to share your gifts with the world, it's like the art is a physical manifestation of your gifts, because your real gift is your ability to sort of encode. Talking a lot here. So your real gift is the ability to encode the vibration of spiritual knowledge, principles, and teachings into your art. So So that's the real gift, the ability to encode and share that vibration and spread that vibration. And the way that it like physically manifests to people is like you put it in art. And so that's how you can give it out into the world. And it's not just painting. Like you could sing, you could write poetry, you could do anything like that. But like for me, they're showing me like a painting that you drew and or that you painted. And that's like you coded into it the thing that you were trying to express with your emotional authority. That's how that's all tied together. I'm sorry, give me 1 second. I've been talking for a long time. Okay, let me see if there's anything else. Yeah, they're also saying don't be afraid to take charge and lead yourself in your own adventures. There's something exciting in that, and it's almost as if you're going into these new uncharted places, but it's exciting because it was your idea, and you're moving with your own inner emotional authority, so there's no fear for you. You know that this is the way you're going to go, but it's also exciting because there is no previous path laid out, and so you're like, oh, this is really cool. I get to lay my own tracks. And so as we're going forward in this and you're laying your own tracks, what you're doing is it's like it's a wilderness in your own mind, and it's something new for you to explore. Because I think what we had been doing before is we're just doing the same old, same old. And it's getting to this point where you're just like, okay, I've cleared out all the trees here. Like I know what's left. I know what's right. I know what's coming around the corner. I know everything, and I'm bored, and I don't want to keep doing this over and over and over again. And then so they're saying, like, lead yourself on an adventure. And it's more like being led internally rather than externally, you know. So allow yourself to be that excited. Allow yourself to be motivated by your intention to find this excitement and this new adventure and then go forward in it. And they're also saying it's sort of like they're showing me like a dog sled. Like an Alaskan dog sledding race, but there's really no race. It's just you out in the wilderness, and they're showing you as this dog, and you're the one who's like at the head of the pack. You're leading. It's like your Balto, right? And I was young when that movie came out. So it's like your Balto, and you're like leading this important charge, and you have somewhere to be, you have something to do, and you're laying down your own tracks, and people are counting on you, and you're the one who's like, who's in charge here. Like you're setting the course, you know, like other people might think they're in charge, but it's like you're top dog here. Like anyone else who's here is just along for the ride. Like you know what you're doing. So, and they're saying, don't be intimidated by that, because it's like, as you come from your inner authority and you move into this area of expressing yourself in your outer authority, then you're going to be doing something where it's, you're unintimidated by your own desire to go out and do something exciting. That's what they're saying. So it's when you see this new and exciting path that like no one's walked before, and it's like you're like, I know this is mine. I don't know exactly how I'm going to get through that forest, but I know what is on the other side of that forest is meant for me. And then so as you create that path, as you run through that forest and through that snow, you're going to do it with the, it's not even necessarily assuredness. It's with the knowing that every step along your path is every step that you're meant to take. And that every step that you're taking, no matter how weird it seems, no matter how hard it seems, is exactly what you need to be doing in order to get where you want to be. And it's interesting because it's this idea of not necessarily focusing on the goal so much as it is just enjoying forging your own path. That's fun for you as well. And let me see if there's anything else. Going back to this idea of expressing yourself, and we're going back to sort of, they're saying like dig into yourself, and we're using this paint metaphor. If you're going to paint a picture and you're using like red, yellow, blue, green, blah, 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 they're saying the paints in your life, like the materials that you're using, it's your own intentions, your own motivations, your own emotions. That's how you're going to create the masterpiece of your life. So as you express yourself and as you move forward in expressing yourself, that's how you move through. That's your intention. So when you're thinking, what are the building blocks of this life that I want to create? It's your emotions, your intentions, and your motivations, because they're all kind of the same thing, but they're just the same thing expressed slightly differently. So make sure you follow that. And let me check. Now, they're just reinstating, make sure you listen to your emotions. Make sure you understand yourself. And by understanding yourself, I'm not implying that you need to work, but you just need to hear yourself because you're always communicating with yourself. Like, there's nothing, there's no part of you that you're not in tune to, but there may be a part of you that you stop listening to. That's the difference. So there's no part of you that you're not in communication with or that's not communicating with you, but it's just opening yourself up, opening your ears again to that listening state and being open to accepting it. Give me one moment. Okay, I think that's a complete message. Did you understand that?
I think so. The ice part is that I haven't seen my only child in 7 years, and I completely lost myself 7 years ago.
Okay. And is that kind of the time when you stopped sort of expressing yourself?
Yeah, I shut down. I shut down everything.
Okay, got you. So let's see here. So if I'm going to, so mainly your question is asking about, like, how do I, are you aiming to reconnect with your child?
I am, but I'm 7 years. I don't think I'm going to hear from him. I'd like to have a life. I've decided I'm 61. I may not have many years left.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's see here. So interestingly, they were not talking to me about a child, and it's not that you have to forget about them. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I should say he's 35. He's a grown man.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. So basically what they're saying is that, okay, they're saying that he's responsible for himself, and giving him the grace and the authority for him to make his own choices, no matter what they are, no matter how much you might not necessarily like them, is your gift to him. And so by honoring him as his own sovereign being, as you are your own sovereign being, then that's how you express your love in that way. But that on top of that, that's how you express love to yourself. You can say, I still love my son. I would like to be in contact with him, but I understand that he has made a decision, and I understand that that decision is what he thinks is best for him at this time. I'm going to honor that because he gets to make that decision. And while he is working through the consequences of that decision, I am not going to hold myself back, and I'm going to live my own light and my own life. And I'm going to continue on with my own, because that's no reason to stop living for you. You know, you are not just, you are a mother, but mother is just one aspect of you. It's just one expression of you. And so you are still a mother, but you are also these other things. And to ignore these other things by grieving motherhood, you are not allowing yourself to express to your highest purpose. So basically what they're saying is just let your son, give him the gift of making his own decisions, give him the gift of honoring his own emotions, and not at the expense of yours, but just give him the gift of knowing that I don't agree with your decision, but it's your decision, and I'm going to let you have it. Because you are also your own authority, as I am my own authority. So basically what they're saying is just to make sure that you continue to live. Don't put yourself on ice. And just go forward confident, knowing that you are exactly who you need to be, and you're doing exactly what you need to be doing.
Okay.
Did that help at all, Lisa?
Yeah, I think so. I know I've been on ice. I'm not sure about the painting, but I'll work at it.
Okay. Have you ever, I'm really seeing that you have this way of expressing yourself. Is it like, have you tried video? Have you tried photography? Have you tried maybe like express, like it's almost like producing? Have you done anything like that?
Oh, gosh, video and producing would be way out of, I'm old fashioned, don't even know how to work one of those phones. But I do love to take pictures.
I would recommend challenging yourself with something new, like maybe just try making short little videos on your phone, and then maybe just like photography, but then also like get back into painting, because I really get that that is, for some reason they were using artistry imagery for you, so I would say that that's an important way for you to get back in touch with your emotions and like your divine feminine aspect. So just give that a shot. Allow yourself to have some fun with that and see where it takes you.
Okay. Thank you so much for blessing me. You're amazing.
Oh, thanks, Lisa. I hope you have a good weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Give me one moment. Let me take some water there. That was a longer one than I had planned for, but that was a good one. Okay, so if you're just hopping on, my name is Julia Wesley. I am a professional medium and channel, and you can find me at divinerealignment.com. I focus on giving people life purpose readings and reconnecting them with their soul essence in this lifetime, which is to be themselves, which is your life purpose. So I am going to go ahead and take the next caller.
Been a lot of theories about the coronavirus.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, wonderful, because I wasn't sure I heard that beep go off. unmuted. Well, great, thank you. Well, my official name is Karen or Karen Sue. Not that I use it much. If spirit needs
okay.
My official name.
Well, if you go by a nickname, it doesn't matter either way. They know who you are.
I've been using Casey more, but then I got
okay.
into numerology, and the theory is that I was doing myself a disservice by not using my official name. I don't know. I don't know anymore.
Okay. Oh, I get you. Okay, yeah. When you do numerology, normally they want, like, your birth name or whatever's on your birth certificate. So, okay. So we'll just go with Karen. And I'm assuming you're looking for a life purpose reading?
Yes, please.
Okay. So give me a moment here, Karen. Okay. This is interesting. So I am also getting this very icy, snowy imagery for you as well. It's this idea that we're perhaps not fully, it's sort of like being encased in ice, where you're sort of frozen in time. And it feels more like, it's not necessarily frozen in time, as we are sort of like frozen in our emotional, our emotional expression, our ability to listen to our emotions and to express them to ourselves. And it's not necessarily that your life has, I'm not saying your life has been wasted up until this point, but I just think that we're going through a season of winter right now, where we're sort of trying to break the ice on ourselves and figure out how to have a little bit more fun and to express joy in a way that is fun and healthy for us and sort of allows us to shake out of this funk that we're in a little bit, because it's interesting. My guides, when they're trying to say, like, they need to have this childlike sense of fun, they show me, like, a snowman, but I'm not necessarily getting the same emotional resonance of that imagery than I normally get. It's normally this idea of, like, it's a rock-solid ice snowman. So what I think they're getting at is that we could stand to sort of stop where we are and take in the beauty of where we're at right now. And I think that's part of it, is just taking a moment to just really not intellectually recognize the beauty of something, but allow the beauty to sort of like sock us in the heart. And to just sort of let that move us and to let that be enough at that time. I also think there's this tendency to think that we need to move in leaps and bounds, and that's not necessarily the quickest pathway forward for us. So even if we take these small little steps where we're just recognizing emotion when we see it and we're just letting ourselves feel it, as we see it, then that's going to be enough, and that's actually going to move us quicker. So I'm seeing us take these sort of like small little steps, and we're only taking a handful of them before we realize that it's almost like shiny object syndrome, but in a good way, because as we're taking these small little steps, then we're realizing that I actually want to go this way. And then as soon as we take off in this other direction, then we're moving in leaps and bounds because we're moving in the direction that is giving us our highest excitement. And so they're saying honor those small little steps because that's going to take you just far enough out of the funk that you're in or this place that you're in where it's like everything's just sort of, it seems like this emotional ice is just sort of like, well, this is, you know, this is boring. I'm looking for excitement, but I'm not finding it anywhere. So they're saying just sort of like take these little steps and these little actions to see these little pieces of beauty wherever you are, these little bits of excitement. And as soon as you take these small steps out of this, frankly, little circle that you're in, then you're going to be like immediately drawn in this new direction, sort of like a magnet in a way. And then we're going to be like taking off like a shot. So as we move in this direction, and really I'm seeing sort of like this bright light, and it's interesting because I'm seeing this like giant rabbit, which is interesting to me. It's like a rabbit on its two hind legs. What am I supposed to do with this? What's this mean? Okay, so I think what we're doing is we're being like propelled forward by our sort of like solar identity, which is your solar plexus, and you're like inspired by it, and you're seeing this thing that represents, it's like a physical representation of who you are on the inside, and you're seeing it and you've noticed it and you're like, oh, that's mine. And then you're gonna start like running towards it and going towards it, and you're like, that's me all the way. And that's where this sense of excitement is going to come from, because it's like recognizing, like it's you recognizing you. And what else do we have to say about that? So they're saying there's sort of this magic and this enjoyment and this rush and the chase of what it is that you're going for. And so as you're moving towards this outward expression of you, allow yourself to have fun with the sort of chasing of it so that you enjoy where you're trying to go rather than just enjoying where you want to get. So it's like every step along the path of getting to where you want to go is something that's going to feel fulfilling in itself. So that is something for you to look forward to, Karen, just knowing that, seeing that you have somewhere you want to go, every step you're going to take along the process of getting to there is going to be fun as well. So don't underestimate that, and don't let yourself get sidetracked thinking that, oh, I have to reach this goal, or, oh, I need to get something. And so they're bringing me back to this idea of sort of like, you said you were getting into numerology. And then so I think what they're saying is it's not necessarily this process of trying to learn everything you can all at once about numerology and trying to absorb everything all at once and know everything all at once and get to the very end all at once. It's like enjoying the process of learning numerology. And that's interesting. What's this mean? Or how are the different ways I can do this? What's the way that excites me the most? And then going forward in that step. And let me see if there's anything else I have to say. So now it's sort of showing me, like, you building, like, an origami sort of, like, cootie catcher. And it's this idea of sort of trying things out. Like, you're building and you're like, oh, no, I don't want to fold it this way. I want to fold it another way. And then as you fold it in the way that makes sense to you, that works best for you, and then you're, like, working this cootie catcher and you're, like, flipping up the flaps and you're saying, oh, I like how this works. Oh, I like what that does. And it's interesting because it's like you created this, but at the same time, you're still surprised by the results that you get from it. And that's half the fun for you. And is this making sense to you, Karen? Did you want to say something?
Well, I really don't know how to quite interpret it. My life has really been no peak, but anyway, I feel like I'm in the worst time of my life.
Gotcha.
Coming on a year since my partner passed, I'm still grieving over that, and I'm used to my new life after that, and it's hit me financially. You know, I've been using up all the resources I've had, and I'm going to be running low, and, you know, I need to find a way to resolve that, bring money in. I've been dreading a roommate, a stranger in here, but I may have to.
Right.
I kept thinking I would find my gifts and what am I meant to do, and that would be something I could do, and that would bring me in money. And anyway, so I haven't had any inclinations or revelations in that area, and I just feel so lost. Like, what am I supposed to do the rest of my life?
Right.
How am I going to resolve all of this? And I have so much work to do in the apartment besides clearing out and getting it even ready for anything. Oh, my God.
Sure.
Overwhelming nightmare. And I don't find any fun. So.
Right. Well, okay, let's look at it this way. So let's go back to the beginning. Them saying that you're sort of in this sort of kind of crystallized emotional state where nothing is new, nothing is different, you're sort of frozen in time. What they were referring to is this state that you're in where you're like, I'm not experiencing anything new, I'm stuck here, you know, and you sort of put yourself in this state. And I'm not blaming you for your own grief, because I get that and I'm very sorry. But what they're saying is that this inability or this unwillingness to move forward and go forward, that is you sort of putting yourself on ice. That's you putting yourself in this place where you're just stuck in time. And so they're saying in order to move out of this place of being stuck in time, what you have to do is you sort of have to allow yourself to feel. And they're saying by doing that, how you can do that is to see beauty in what is already around you. So that may mean cleaning out the apartment and reminiscing about the things that you're giving to a better home. Maybe you had emotions or memories attached to something, and they're saying go through those emotions, those memories, by touching these things, by experiencing them again, and just allow yourself to sort of step into the spring of your life, essentially. Go into a new season. But you have to step forward. Take these little steps first, and that will allow you to do that. And so as you step forward, as you keep going little by little by little, and just give yourself little steps at a time, and then allow yourself to be inspired by these little steps. And that's all you need right now. And as you keep taking these little steps, what you'll find, they're saying, is that you will see outside of, let's say, your apartment, just as an example, and you'll look at the outside world, and you'll all of a sudden, because you're so used to following your own emotions and your own excitement, you'll connect with something that reminds you of you. You'd be like, that's me on the inside, but I'm seeing it on the outside, and it's exciting to me. And let me see if I can get just another clue on what that might be. They're saying it's like it's already around you, like you're already doing it. And I have a feeling that it's just, let me see. I have this sense, Karen, that you're probably a little bit stir or youth. It really seems like you're someone who, given the opportunity, would like to laugh a lot. And you're someone who also has the ability to make other people laugh. I wonder if you would consider maybe being... Yeah, I would, if I were you, I would just explore the possibility of maybe doing something a little unfamiliar to you, maybe like stand-up comedy if you're really feeling adventurous, or maybe just taking like a course in something new where it's like public speaking, or you're going out with like a group of people and you go out to like a new bar or something like that. But I'm really seeing like you're in this position of sort of like spreading joy and telling jokes. But the reason why you like doing this so much is because it's like an outer expression of you. So that's what this is. And it's not so much.
I can,
and I'm not saying that
I'm
you have to
so,
go off. And,
I'm sorry. I pursued an acting career for a long time. But not a stand-up comedian, because I'm not good with jokes. I can only be sometimes funny in the moment. So, and maybe when I'm with people or one-to-one, I might, you know, try to, if inspired, lighten up with a joke or make a pun or a double entendre or whatever. A lot of times it goes over people's heads, but that's more my sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
I used to perform and do all that stuff in the public eye.
Okay.
But
I thought so. And Karen, I think that you might be selling yourself short. Do you have the ability to sort of see the humor in a situation to where maybe it's like situational humor, or you can set up, can you maybe set up a story and sort of maybe tell us? I get the sense that you have this ability to tell a story, and the story you tell, like, it tells a funny story. You know what I mean? Almost like a mock radio hour kind of a thing, or like a StoryCorps kind of a thing, to where you have just the ability to take people on an adventure with you. And then you can make them laugh in a way. So if that doesn't resonate with you right now, just consider it as an unexplored aspect of yourself and take what works and throw away what doesn't. But I would recommend that you do sort of seek the spotlight again, because it's sort of like I'm seeing you going off and you're really following this bright light. And I think that that's a representation of the spotlight. So go back out and go back in front of people and talk to people and be on a stage again, to where you can just express yourself that way. And I'm not necessarily saying go back to Hollywood and be in an Avengers movie, but I'm just saying, like, I'm seeing you on like a stage, and I'm seeing you in front of sort of like a smallish crowd that would remind me of the kind of crowd a stand-up comedian is in front of. And but you're also sort of like you're telling a story, and the story is kind of like it's like situationally humorous. It's not like you're like setting up a joke like Bill Cosby would or something like that. But you're just expressing yourself, and the way you're expressing yourself is funny. That's what I'm gonna point you towards. And I think the reason they're not giving me more is because it's important for you to recognize the spark of what it is that gives you excitement. Like, finding the joy of that again is going to be exciting to you. And I know you were worried about money. And I want to say the more that you sort of follow the spotlight, the more that you sort of follow the urge to kind of like express and kind of showcase yourself again, like, the less you're going to have to worry about money. Excuse me, that's what that seems like. It doesn't seem like money is like a long-term worry for you. It just seems like maybe it's something that you're going through right now because it's connected with sort of like this one-tone emotional state that you're in at the moment. So give yourself the ability to grieve, connect with these happy emotions again, find the beauty in small things, and then you're going to take these small steps to the point where you can recognize where exactly you want to try going and just follow that excitement. Does that help, Karen?
Yes. And with all that, do you see me going back to auditioning? Or would this be something
interesting? So what I'm seeing right now is it's sort of like the beginning stages of you kind of getting back on stage and getting used to being in it. It's like you have this charisma when someone puts a microphone in front of you and a spotlight on you.
Wow.
And then you just sort of talk, and you just sort of be you. So it doesn't necessarily seem like an audition. Granted, I'm not very familiar with the process, so it could be.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, that's not necessarily what that seems like. It just seems like you going out there and being you.
Wow.
Okay. I think that's a complete message for you, Karen. I hope that helps.
Yeah, you gave me a lot to think about, and I do feel a little more inspired. Thank you, a lot more inspired. So thank you very much.
Oh, good. All right. Well, I'm glad I could help, Karen. I hope you have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks.
Any blessings.
Bye. All right. So I've got about 10 more minutes, so I'm just going to go ahead and take the next caller. Hi there. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you. My name is Wendy from California, and I've been on a medical leave since mid-January for spondylosis. It's a very painful condition, and I'm in a wheelchair now. And now that it's several months later, they, well, also I should say that I also have another situation that's come up regarding hearing as a disability. And while I get new hearing aids, I cannot sit in front of a computer right now for very long because of my condition, and I also have a shoulder impingement. So I had a long talk with HR yesterday, and she said that she was going to see if there might be anything I could do in the call that did not involve using a computer telephone because of these conditions. And if not, it would essentially mean that I'm on ADA until these matters are resolved. So is this going to resolve in my favor? Am I going to essentially keep my job and not have to worry about this?
Okay. And you said your name was Denise?
Wendy, W-E-N-D-Y.
Wendy. I'm sorry, Wendy. Okay. It was a little hard to hear you. It was kind of like, it seems like it's windy.
Oh, I'm
windy
sorry.
Windy with an I. No, that's okay. Okay, Wendy, let me tell you a little bit about how I work. So I'm not really sort of like a prophetic kind of a medium. I don't really do much with timelines or futures just because they can change depending on how you act and what choices you make. So I might say all conditions right now are pointing to yes, but something might change a minute from now. And you know, it's too impractical of a reading for me to feel confident doing. So what I can do, though, is I can sort of connect you to your inner authority and your life purpose, the expression of you. So if you don't mind, I will still ask my guides what's most important for you to know so that you can come out on top here. But it's not necessarily going to be like a yes or no kind of a reading. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Wendy. So as you were talking, my guides were showing me this spider sort of weaving a web. And what was really cool about it was that the web was catching all of these raindrops, and they looked kind of like crystals. And so to me, what the symbolism of a spider and like a web is you're sort of weaving a story for yourself right now. And what's interesting is from the outside, certainly as you were telling it to me, it seemed sort of unpleasant, sort of negative. But what they were showing me was the sparkles, the raindrops, the crystalline like kind of imagery that I was seeing on the web looked really pretty. And then so they're saying to me that you have this ability to sort of weave a web of your own choosing. The web that you weave can either catch these really amazing opportunities, or you can weave a story for yourself that seems sort of like tragedy. And so they're saying you're powerful either way, but if you want, you can take the story that you have written for yourself right now to this sort of, I have a medical disability, I have a hearing disability, and I'm not invalidating that at all because they're all true and a real experience for you. But what they're saying is that instead of seeing them as something that will hold you back from supporting yourself and making money for yourself, you have the ability to go forward here and create a solution. It's not even like you're creating a solution. It's like you're bringing forward a solution that would benefit everyone involved. So they want to bring you to your attention to create that solution within your life just by becoming aware of it. Let me see if they can give me a little bit more on that.
Well, I understand what you're saying, because it's a very smart lady I spoke with, but in a sense, I had to educate her in a really kind way that mm-hmm. if you cannot accommodate me the way my doctor wrote, then it means that I am disabled through June the 4th. But if you can give me an alternative task to do per the company,
mm-hmm.
then I can do that until June the 4th, and then I can be back to full capacity to do my normal job. And I think when I explained that to her, I think when she came aware that my knowledge of ADA is perhaps higher than what most people are. I think that things changed between her and me. It was more of an amicable relationship, and I think she knew she was dealing with somebody who was well-advised. Not that she wasn't, but it was more like she and I were on a more of a 50-50 communication.
Right.
And that I knew what my rights are, essentially. So I think things changed. And I have tons of supporting evidence regarding my hearing disability. And I cannot hear my caller, so I can't do my job. And I have 10 years proof of audiological reports. And then regarding the other situation, I have overwhelming proof. So I think it's kind of almost a matter of standing up for myself and saying, in a sense, do you understand who you're talking to? I know what I'm talking about. You know, you are the expert on it. I know enough so that now you'll know we're on an even balance here. And so I think when she recognized that yesterday, I have a sense that things changed for me and that she was more willing. She had a broader sense that, well, this employee knows, has more knowledge than most. So it's almost like she was more willing legally to consent that to me. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do know. When you show people that you have the same knowledge, if not better knowledge, than they do of a situation, then it's sort of they're less likely to take advantage of your ignorance to get what they want because they know they can't do that to you. So I would say, and so that actually comes back to, as before you started talking, I was going to say, it seems like you have more assets at your disposal than maybe you're paying attention to, but it seems like you are paying attention to that. You do know that your asset is your intelligence and you do have the ability to weave a story and a situation for yourself that is to your benefit and to your advantage. Like you've done your homework. You know what's best for you.
Well, I'm very resourceful. And I don't know if this is fact, but it's what I sense, that the balance has changed yesterday. I think we both strive to be on the same page. But honestly, I think it's when I kind of had to keep going a certain way and get her attention in a nice way. Like, do you understand the ADA law is my doctor says I'm off work. Unless you can accommodate me, then I cannot return to my regular job until September the 4th. If you cannot accommodate me, then by law, you have to find something else. If you can't find something else, that's fine. Then by law, I can return on 9/4. And when I had to repeat myself about three times in a very kind way, and then she finally said, oh, so you mean this? And I said, yes, I do. And then also when I introduced the matter regarding my hearing disability, at first she was upset because it seemed like a convenient thing I was bringing up at this time. But I have overwhelmingly proved that I have not delayed in addressing that. I addressed it early this year, January, February, and that due to COVID and CDC guidelines, the office I was working with shut down, and now they no longer do business with my insurance company for hearing. Therefore, I have to start over. So I have overwhelming proof about that as well. So I think that now she has a different interpretation of who she's dealing with, and she's going to be more cognizant, shall I say, of what she says and what she does. And quite frankly, I don't think that they're going to find something that I can do in the call center without being on the phone and without any keyboarding. And that's fine.
Well, you know what? What I want to bring to your attention, and I'm sorry, we only have maybe like 30 seconds left, so I have to say this quick. But I do want to say that you actually are working with a lot of spider energy right now. If you wanted to maybe look that up, because I don't have really all the time to explain it to you. But basically, you're a weaver of your own story. You have a lot of resourceful. Basically, you can think of yourself as someone like the Fates, someone of Greek lore who would sort of weave the tapestry of their life. And so actually, Wendy, I've got 20 seconds, so I'm going to have to let you go. But thank you so much for talking to me, and I appreciate it. And feel free to call back Wednesday or Friday next week because I will be back Same time, same place to give everybody life purpose readings. And thank you, Karen, Wendy, and Lisa, for letting me read for you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye.